So, first of all, let me just start off, and we're going to go around the room and introduce ourselves to y'all that are here participating. My name is Mary Carter. I'm from Savannah, Georgia. I am an alcoholic, and I am 100% inspired by the secular format of AA. I had my last drink 27 years ago, and I was also a child of members of AA. My parents got sober in 1953, and I was a kid that got dragged to every Roundup and Eatin' Meatin' and World Conference that there was. And so I was familiar with what AA was. I just didn't know it applied to me until I was almost 40. So I went to a traditional AA my whole life and was a member of a women's group, home group, for 18 years. And about 5 or so years ago, I noticed that people were asking me to sponsor them, and then they were telling me what their sponsors had told them. And I was surprised at what was being told to people about how to do the program and how they should do it and what would happen to them if they didn't do it exactly the way their sponsor told them to. And I noticed that I felt my whole time that I was sharing in meetings, it was for the newcomer. So that I was balancing out what was being said in the rooms, which was a very, it started to become, in my personal opinion and my experience of hearing it, a lot more rigid and religious than I had heard in my previous 20 years of sobriety. And it came to be that it was more about people were parroting what other people were saying instead of what their own truth was. And so I would speak my truth for the newcomer that might be their first meeting. And so I also felt that there was so much posturing going on within our group about how to do the program, what the true AA program was. Things like, you know, you'll get drunk if you don't have a higher power. I can't sponsor you if you don't have a higher power. And then I just noticed that it wasn't that I was atheist in viewpoint at that time. It was that the posturing was aggressive and intolerant. And then the vibes got really strong, and a couple of group consciences got really difficult. And I would sponsor people where they came. Like if they were atheist, great. If you were a believer, great. If you didn't know, great. I would just sponsor people in the way that I knew how to do it, because it was the principles, not the words so much. And, you know, once I think when I said, I don't believe we should say the Lord's Prayer at the end of every meeting, that just was the gasoline on the fire that exploded into us being sort of forced out of the clubhouse. And then we started our own women's meeting initially. And that was 5 years ago. And now there's one online and 4 in person here in Savannah, Georgia, with a population of 300,000 people. It's a very religious town. We're in the Bible Belt down here. We're on the coast of Georgia. And people are loving the secular format of AA meetings here. And it has just grown in leaps and bounds. And I'm 100% committed to it growing even more. And I love the women's meetings. I've always had a home group that was a women's meeting, and we're here to talk about that today. And I'm going to go let the panel now of women introduce themselves and just give a little introduction about who you are, where you came from, and how you got here today. Jen B., would you like to start off?
Okie doke. Hi, I'm Jen B., or Jennifer. I grew up in New York City. I got sober in 2014 in Orlando, Florida. Oh My God was my home group. First meeting I ever went to. Lucky me, as I always say. I moved to New Mexico in 2019. I live here with my mother. And when I got here, there were no secular meetings. There was one group, two meetings in Albuquerque, which is an hour away, at 8:30 Saturday mornings. So not for me. And it took a year to decide that I was going to try and start a meeting, which I did, Santa Fe Freethinkers. I named it after the Albuquerque Freethinkers. And then 3 months later, the clubhouse closed. So That was that for the time being. I'm hoping to, I did do it online for about a year and a couple of months, but then I had to stop it because I wasn't getting any assistance with it and I got burned out. But I do intend to start it up again. The Friendship Club is open now, but it's very limited. So I was just waiting for the warmer weather and start it up and see how it goes. I'm very excited about it. I go to a, my home group, I consider my home group, Oh My God, on the East Coast and everywhere else. I go to ASMM, a secular meditation meeting. So I get to do my meditations there, and that's a daily meeting, and it's a wonderful group. So, yeah, that's pretty much my
Thank
story.
You.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Kimiko, would you like to go next?
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Kimiko, I'm in recovery. I got sober in Los Angeles 16 years ago, 2009, October 15th, and moved to Savannah, Georgia. Very different type of AA. Luckily, just about the time they were starting a secular AA, I was like, I'd never heard of it, even being from LA. I got involved with the women's meeting there first, the secular meeting, and I fell in love with the inclusivity and the welcoming nature of it. Felt, I couldn't believe it. I found more of a home there than I did even in Los Angeles, and I felt very included. I have very tight groups in LA, and now because of the pandemic, even Zoom-wise, found a bunch of groups. And we have a Zoom wonderful secular meeting at 10 a.m. where I'm meeting women from all over the world. But yeah, so I've been a part of that. I even helped start a women's meeting on Wednesday, a secular women's meeting that has taken on a life of its own live here. And so I'm really grateful to be here. And I can't wait to hear from everybody else. Thank you.
Thanks, Kimiko. Thank you. Angela, would you like to go next?
Sure. Thanks, Mary. I'm Angela, and I can't drink alcohol safely. I have been in AA for 16 years, just a little bit over. I knew about AA because my family history. I come from a long line of alcoholics, and I went to Alateen as a kid, so I too know about all the shindigs and crazy stuff that you get dragged to in recovery. When it came time for me to get sober, I was a bit nervous because I remembered, you know, some of the language within AA. And so I looked online to see if they'd progressed any. And they did have a pamphlet that said that they were open to people of all religions and no religion, and or faith, I think they used. I got to a meeting, and they were gadding all over the place. And so I left, and it took about 8 months, and then I got back, and I just was honest and said that I was an atheist, and I didn't know if I could do this. And people in the Treasure Valley, where I live, what Boise is a part of, were actually pretty open-minded. They at that time didn't particularly care about what people's beliefs were. They did use a lot of religious language, but that they didn't consider it religious. But they were still very open to me being there. A group of us got together in 2008 and started the Atheist Agnostics and All Others meeting. And people in town and at the central office were very supportive of that. I think mostly because they were happy that I had a meeting where I could say I was an atheist every single time if I felt like it. I think they were tired of hearing it. But it was also a place where they could send people that they didn't know what to do with because they were atheists. It's like, how do you sponsor somebody who doesn't have a higher power? And it's not that they didn't think it was possible. They just didn't know how to do it. And so part of what our group has done is helped people understand that, you know, what is I guess, more important to us is the actions within our recovery rather than what you attribute your recovery to, whether it's a higher power or something else. So I've been glad to be a part of that. I have done some other things in recovery since then that I'm proud of and enjoy, and being a part of this panel is one of them. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Angela. And the next person in the square closest to me is Tracy.
Good evening, I'm Tracy. And I have 4 3/4 of a year sober and just one day at a time. And my journey was 2 years in traditional, and working the steps, I realized that I just couldn't go through drop the rock with every other word being God. And I was not comfortable anyway. And I told my sponsor, and so I came out of the closet, so to speak. I lost a lot of people that I used to hang with in traditional AA. I still go back to some of those meetings. When somebody reaches out for help, that's the meeting I take them to. I do 13 meetings a week, all on Zoom. I do the same 13, so I don't have a single home group. I fit everywhere. And so many of the people that I see in every meeting are in every meeting. So, and for me, I sponsor women, and I will help them through the steps in whatever way they feel comfortable, because that it doesn't matter what we believe. It matters how we act and what we say and how we say it. And the other thing is that, you know, I do have a secular voice after my name. I do not introduce myself as an alcoholic. If I wasn't an alcoholic, I wouldn't be here. And I want to be that secular voice when I go to traditional meetings. If people see that, they might find out that they're not alone. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy. And Crystal. Crystal M., would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you, Mary. Hi, I'm Crystal. I'm a grateful, recovering human being and woman, and happen to also be an alcoholic in recovery. And my sobriety date is May 17, 1995. So I've been coming around here a little bit, but I have to tell you, I didn't discover secular meetings until about 2 years ago. And it was all by mistake, but it was the best gift that I have been given in these last 2 years of my entire sobriety. I can say that by finding and discovering secular AA, I finally got to stop lying, you know, and going along with the big lie so that I could feel a part. You know, I never felt that God thing the way that other people feel it, however they choose to feel it. And I'm glad they do get to feel it. And I get to feel whatever it is that I feel, which I was never comfortable saying in traditional AA meetings. I will say very quickly too, yes, we are 100% in the Bible Belt here in Savannah, where I got sober in Germany in a military community. So higher power was used a lot. So when I got here to Savannah, where people would say, hi, my name is blank, who and my higher power is God, whom I choose to call Jesus Christ. And that's how they would open in a meeting. And I would flabbergasted, you know, because I came from a background of at least people saying my higher power, you know, so getting used to not having to deal with that. I love this. I love to just come and be me, a grateful, recovering human being. So that's all I have. And thank you, Mary, for allowing me to be a part of today.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. And next up on our panel today is Maria T.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name's Maria. I'm a sober alcoholic. And gosh, let's see, what can I tell you about myself? I'm originally from Havana, Cuba. I live in Colorado. My next sobriety anniversary will be 10 years. A meeting leader, chairperson, jump up out of his seat and point his finger at me and say, you know what's wrong with you? I know what's wrong with you. And, you know, launched from there. So I had a lot of pretty aggressive pushback. I've been laughed at. I've had a lot. Anyways, I was pretty lucky that I heard about a secular meeting starting in Denver, really, really far away from where I live. but I made the effort to go there. And I learned about secular AA there at that meeting. The guy that started it, the ever-loving Jeb, some people might know him here, had some books. And one of those books was called Beyond Belief, Agnostic Musings for 12-Step Life. That book sustained me through the years of going to mainstream AA meetings and suffering through all that, until 2017, when another fellow named John S. started what I was aware of as the first online Zoom meeting that was a secular AA meeting. And I started attending that meeting. And what happened as a result of attending that meeting was that I met a small group of women. And amongst us, we decided that we would start our own women's secular AA meeting. And that meeting turned into the Sober She Devils, which is still going on today. So we just recently, this past April, celebrated our 5th anniversary of an ongoing meeting. And yeah, so I have found my niche. I no longer struggle. Plus, I've grown a lot over the course of the 9 years. And I don't struggle as much with the God thing. Maybe because I don't go to traditional meetings anymore at all, but I feel very comfortable with the concept of live and let live now, and I don't struggle with interpreting language and, you know, figuring out which contradiction in the big book is the right one. Is it, you know, this, or is it that? Are we selfish, or are we to dine on self be true? You know, so I don't have to do that anymore. And I'm grateful for that. And I thank you for inviting me to this panel.
Thank you, Maria. And that, those are our panelists today. And Cindy J from Arkansas is our tech host. And I want to thank her for that. And thank you all for being here. And I wanted to have a, when I first heard we were having a secular conference, I just wanted to grab a slot for women, a woman's panel or a woman's meeting, or I called it Women in Recovery because I've heard in the rooms, I always say my name is Mary, I'm an alcoholic, because I've just, it's automatic. And recently, in the past few years, I've heard women say, my name is blank and I'm a woman in recovery. And so that's hence our, the name of our panel today. And I just would like to ask the panelists, when you introduce yourself in the rooms, do you, how do you say you're an alcoholic, or do you say you're in recovery? Anybody want to address that?
I'll go first. I'm Jennifer. Okay. Hi. So yeah, so I said I was an alcoholic from day one, because that was up, so that's what I was supposed to do. And in the meetings I went to, everybody did, so I continued to. And it's only come up recently where those changes started to take place. Alcohol use disorder, I tried using that for about 2 months, and it was such a mouthful. I had to hesitate each time before I could get it out. But I've used in recovery, but generally I'll just go alcohol. I think it's unifying that we, but it doesn't matter to me. You can say anything, you know, that makes you feel comfortable. We're all in recovery. Being an alcoholic and identifying as one, I think, is a big leap for some people, and they're more comfortable with recovery. So for me, I'm good with any and all, but yeah, I use alcoholic. Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks, Jen. Anyone else?
Sure. When I came in, I guess I'd noticed from everybody else introducing themselves, with some variation of hi, I'm so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. I sure didn't get the person that said, you know, I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Oh, sorry.
Fine.
No problem. What does that mean? I'm a grateful alcoholic. I was not grateful. But I also resonate with what Jen said about the unifying factor. It did make me feel a part of. And then after a while, after a few years, I was like, well, you know I have this problem if I pick up again, but I don't feel like I'm an active alcoholic. So I kind of came to this place of introducing myself as a sober alcoholic. And I do introduce myself that way at every meeting when I share or I'm called on, whatever. I think when I first came in and I'd look around and I'd see decent looking people saying, hi, I'm so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. Aside from the unifying factor, it gave me hope that I could be a decent looking person someday too. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Maria.
I'll share. I'm Angela. And when I got here, I did the same because I thought it was a requirement, partially. And I really did identify that way. There was something comforting in identifying because it gave a name to a lot of the stuff that was going on in my life. It was because I was an alcoholic. As time has gone on, I find that I identify with that less because I can identify with so many other things that it would be, you know, take 20 minutes for me to list all of my identifiers. And that the truth for me is, you know, I don't even always like to use the word recovery, but I do because it makes it easier to talk to people about. But I don't feel like I'm recovering from alcoholism. I feel like I'm a person who's trying to get through life now. And so for meeting purposes, I identify as someone who can't drink alcohol safely because that's the truth about it. You know, for me personally, I don't identify with the disease model anymore either. And so using the term alcoholic doesn't make sense for me. And I sometimes used, I can't drink alcohol in a Safeway. But then in May, I went to Oregon where they still have Safeway department or grocery stores. And so I heard myself saying, I can't drink alcohol in a Safeway. And that just made me laugh for 20 minutes. So Safely is what works for me because it's the truth of where I'm at in my life and how I consider what I'm doing at meetings and stuff. I'm there because I'm a person who can't drink alcohol safely.
Thank you for that, Angela. And I just want to give a little info for everyone that's here. This is a panel discussion. So we're doing questions and answers with the six panelists. And then at the very end of the meeting, this is not a meeting, it's a panel discussion. So it's not like a regular AA meeting where you get to share. It's a little different because it's a panel discussion. So at the end, if we have time, we'll be able to take questions at that point from the audience. So just to let you know that. Okay, so why secular AA? It's my question. What about the secular approach inspires you? How has it changed your recovery? You know, did you come through traditional AA and how did you discover it? You know, what is it that you really like about the secular approach to recovery?
I'll start again. Hi, Jennifer here. Okay, so I didn't do that. My first meeting was secular. And what that means for me, I mean, I talked to myself about it. I knew about the AA meetings. And I identified as an alcoholic when I was trying to stop drinking for like 2 weeks. I would say every day, I'm not going to drink tonight. I'm not going to drink tonight. And every night I drank. And after 2 weeks, I said, I guess I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not going to AA. I know what they do there. I'm an atheist, and second, I'm Jewish, and there's just not a way I could find myself in that room. And so I didn't go. And a year and a half later, I was trying to kill myself, and I ended up in the hospital. So I don't know what I would have done if I didn't know about the secular meetings. Because when I got out of the hospital, there was one, and there was one before that, but it was taking place in the Gay and Lesbian Community Center, and I worked there as a volunteer, and I was very concerned about my anonymity, so I wouldn't go to it. But then they moved out of there, and when I got out of the hospital, I found out they had moved to another location, and I don't know what would have happened to me if secular wasn't there. Maybe I would have ended up a traditional starting out. But I'm glad I didn't have to go through that. But I did go to traditional meetings as well. And what it means to me is everything. I'm alive. I'm just too, what's the word, hardcore atheist to put up with any of the hardcore traditional meetings, which there were a lot in Orlando also. Not necessarily the Bible Belt, but Southern, or I don't know what you call it, but they were very religious. The ones I didn't go to were. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jen.
Secular for me, when I first came to my first traditional AA meeting, I knew that I was in the right place in terms of I needed something. And sometimes it gets said, you don't remember what gets said in your first AA meeting, but you remember how it made you feel. And I remember I felt at home. You know, I felt like when I heard things, things resonated for me. And I finally had a reason to stop drinking. You know, I finally knew that there was a way to do this. I finally could see other people were doing it and doing it successfully. And what I felt when I came to secular AA was that same feeling, that same initial feeling I had at my first AA meeting. Because when I would go to these other meetings, you know, I'd be the only Black woman in the room, or I'd be the only female. It was a military community. I'd be the only female in the room, you know, or I'd be the only person over a certain age in the room. It was all these other things, you know. And then when I started coming to the secular meetings, I was just like, I can breathe again. You know, I can breathe. It was like an adrenaline rush to, you know, because I had 25 years of recovery when I started coming to secular meetings. And so it was like my recovery got an infusion, you know, just of new life and a new ability to look at things in a new way and to just feel at home. So for me, that's what it means for me, is to really rejuvenate my program and have a whole new way of looking at things. And now I have enough energy to think, well, I plan to stay around another 25 years, you know, because I'm hearing things that keep me motivated and keep me coming back. So instead of pushing me out the door. So thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Crystal. I remember the first meeting I went to, I thought, wow, this is different. A woman had started a meeting and she was from Manhattan. And I remember my thinking, wow, they're doing it in New York. And then it kind of fizzled out. And then another meeting got started. And a women's meeting of the people that left the clubhouse. And so I was anxious to go. I had been looking up AA Agnostica, and I knew all about secular AA, and I was anxious to go to a convention, and I couldn't get to San Antonio or Austin, but I did get to Toronto. And all I remember was being so excited when I was going through customs, because I knew I was going to a secular conference of people that I was going to be inspired, and people that thought like I did. And when I got there, I just felt like this is my tribe. I didn't know any of these people. I went by myself and I made friends and I listened and I was like, this is my tribe. This is where the sanity is. You know, I feel like the AA that I remember in the early days of sobriety was about love and tolerance. And nobody really talked about their higher power. It was just a thing that it was their own business. It wasn't the thing. And so it had morphed into something that I no longer recognized. And I was horrified, actually. And I was also really hurt that the people that I thought were my ride or die people of 18 years in my home group, a lot of those people I've never heard from again since the day I left the clubhouse. It's just been like, I haven't left town. I'm still here, but it's just like it was a huge divide. And so beyond all that, that's a whole nother subject. The Toronto Convention really helped me know where my tribe was. And then I came back and I was totally inspired. And from that have been ever since. And from that one, it's just like one alcoholic talking to another, you know, one alcoholic. I was just going to have a meeting and a coffee pot, and it was just going to be me. And if nobody came, great. It all takes two people in a coffee pot. And that's kind of how it morphed into several people in a coffee pot. And from that, it's mushroomed into other groups. People come and they're like, wow, this is what I've been looking for. And it's almost like a permission giver to other people to interpret the program and do the program that's true to them, so they can be in harmony with their own personal integrity. And it's just about staying sober and helping the next alcoholic stay sober. It's not about what I believe or what you believe. I'm just here for the next alcoholic. I want them to have a safe place to land, a place where they feel they can be their true selves. And I found that here. I found my tribe right here. This is my tribe. You're not getting rid of me, whether you like it or not. So Kimiko, would you like to share on that?
I think Maria had her hand up. I'll go after Maria.
No. You're okay. Next.
Please.
Okay.
Please. Okay. Well, gee, why secular AA? I'll tell you what. I was coming up on a year anniversary of sobriety, and I had never been more miserable. I had never felt more out of place. I was going to meetings and leaving there angry or like crushed, hurt, crying, you know. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I said to myself, I can't take this anymore. And I think I need to leave AA. And all of the programming that I received in that first year was saying, well, you know, meeting makers make it, and remembering stories, people sharing about their relapse and how they got complacent in their recovery program. And, you know, or the story of I've been sober X amount of time. I've got this. I know I can handle a drink. You know, all of that stuff was in my head. And I was deathly afraid. I mean, I was really, really scared. I mean, I didn't want to drink. I just didn't want to drink. And again, as I said in my introduction, that was about the time that the one and only secular meeting that I know of in Denver, a huge freaking metropolitan city, one secular meeting. That meeting started up. And though I couldn't go to it regularly, I don't know. I just don't know. I guess I had the fortitude to hang on. I guess some of the reading material that I picked up in that meeting that I mentioned, Joe's book, some books that Roger C. Put together and edited, Maria Hornbacher's book, these things sustained me, because the meetings were, it was the same conversation over and over and over and over. And it was gratitude, and it was letting go, and it was turning it over to our higher power. And it was all of this praying, and I just was going to crawl out of my skin. Honestly, I don't know how I hung on until 2017, when that first Zoom meeting I attended. That Sunday meeting, I don't know how. I guess I'm stubborn. And I guess I wanted to be sober bad enough. So I think that's the key. I'd like to hear from somebody else.
Kimiko, thank you, Maria.
Thank you. I love all these stories. You know, I was thinking about it. I was going, where I got sober in LA, nobody really talked about religious aspect of God. And so it didn't really bother me, except for this very huge woman's meeting I went to, where they always ended it with the Our Father prayer. And for some reason that really got under my craw. I was brought up Jewish, and like I say all the time, I'm more secular, not even secular Jews. What is it? Culinary Jew is what my friend called it. It's about the food and the celebrations more than the actual religious part of it. But my family is Jewish, and I felt, I don't know, protective of it, of all the other Jews in the meeting. And there was no real addressing of it ever. And then I was working, I remember a few years later in North Carolina, and I was there for 3 weeks and had a rental car. I remember going, every meeting ended with the Our Father prayer, not even the Serenity prayer. And it just felt so specifically religious at the end of it that I remember driving once for 40 minutes to find a place that I knew wouldn't say it. It was like a meeting at a synagogue. So it must have always stuck in my head, even though, you know, it wasn't very religious in LA. That people, if you were very religious, it just felt bizarre, the meetings that I went to. But then I came down here and to live. The very first meeting I went to at the clubhouse, somebody said to me, you might like this other meeting. And it happened to be the secular meeting that had just started. So it was serendipitous. And the minute I walked into that meeting, I was like, wow, I don't have to say anything at the end of this. And that felt just much more relaxing to me. And because I was brought up Jewish and raised in many different cultural backgrounds, I prefer a space, especially when it comes to my sobriety. And the biggest thing that kept me sober in the beginning was the only requirement is a desire to stop drinking. And so for me, that didn't align with that. It didn't feel like that was the only requirement. Much as I could find positive things about the Our Father prayer, felt like my entire life I'm always adjusting to what they are telling me I should adjust to rather than from my own. If I'm making up my own spiritual experience or my own experience within this 12-step program, why do I have to do it from your perspective? And the secular AA, like, I didn't have to adjust. There wasn't a stop there. It was like, whatever you want to believe, however you want to believe it, that's okay. If you believe nothing. And I like the variety, and I like that we're all here for that purpose, to stop drinking or to recover. Because to me, the Beyond Belief book is more than just alcoholic recovery. It seems to be about a lot of different kinds of recovery. And I know that I've had more than one challenge. So, yeah, and then it's done in this beautiful fashion that feels very inclusive, which is my very DNA. I'm a mix of very different cultures and people. And so it just felt very much like people are saying, I felt at home within the 12 steps and my sobriety. So thanks.
Thank you, Kimiko. Thank you. Anybody else on the panel want to share about why secular AA?
I can share on that. Because I felt like I was in a cult when I was in traditional AA. I went there to belong. I fit in. And it was like the Stepford Alcoholics. Everybody said the same thing. They talked about the same thing. Do you know, I printed out 259 jargons in AA. And so when I read that, when I looked at that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've heard these. It's like all these parrots. It's like, does anybody have their own mind? They all say the same thing. And I got to tell you right now, little by slow is not a sentence. I'm just going to put it out there. I came into secular AA because I was tired of being fake. I was in the middle of working my steps, and I had to be honest. I could no longer stand in those circles and say the prayers and talk about God like I believed in it, but I wanted to fit in. I wanted to do what everybody else did because they did it. They're sober, and I needed to be there. I didn't even know about secular meetings. All I knew was that, yeah, you know what? We were in the middle of COVID had just started. And I said, yeah, I'm done. And I just came out of the closet and I said, yeah, I'm an atheist. And I call myself an atheist because nobody needs to offer me a light bulb or teach me how to turn on electricity or offer me a doorknob to use as my higher power. I do not have a higher power. I do not believe in God. And I don't believe I'm God either, but, you know, I just felt, and even coming into secular in the beginning, I didn't even know where to go. I started Googling and I came into these meetings and some of them were really weird. Like there were chat rooms. It was crazy. And I was still like, I felt, you know, inferior with all these people who were talking like I wanted to talk, and I still couldn't talk like the other people talked. And it was just horrible. But the more meetings I went into, the more I listened, the more I learned, and the freedom, you know, is, you know, the swear words don't come out of my mouth very quickly because that's just not me. But when somebody else does, I'm like, go, because you can never do that in a real meeting. And, you know, my recovery has grown tremendously. I can't even tell you that. I don't even see things the same way that I saw when I was in traditional. And I just wanted to add something, you know, when you were all talking, the first question about, you know, how do you introduce yourself? A few weeks ago, I actually did a whole talk on this at one of the Tuscanoa meetings. And do you know that Bill Wilson rarely, if ever, introduced himself as an alcoholic? Nobody knows where the term "I'm an alcoholic" came from, except there was a 1957 movie that came out that's titled like that. But nobody knows. And you absolutely do not even have to introduce yourself in a meeting. You do not have to say your name. You do not have to identify yourself at all. And I did so much research on this. And I have to tell you that I found something that really touched my heart. And, you know, it was just said earlier, and I forget who said it, but, you know, alcohol does not define who I am today. Yes, I'm an alcoholic. I will always be an alcoholic. I can no longer drink. But for me to introduce myself as an alcoholic, it's more of a, it's a like a negative connotation. It's not there's no solution there. It just says, yeah, this is what I am. And the other side of that real quickly is that I feel like the obsession is lifted. And I'm just talking about up till today, my obsession is lifted. And I feel like I'm in remission. And so I fought long and hard, and I spent a few weeks introducing myself also in different ways, nothing I was comfortable with. So I'm Tracy, and I'm here because this is Alcoholics Anonymous, and I cannot hold my liquor. So that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tracy. Thank you. Okay, so our next question for this panel of wise women, which is why I asked you all to be here, because I see y'all as strong women, as women who are strong in the secular community, who have started meetings, who have a strong voice and a wise voice, and I really appreciate you for being here. Having said that, I wanted to ask you, do you go to women's meetings? And if so, how do you feel that we can create safe places for women to tell their stories? And what are the particular needs of women in recovery, as opposed to what is unique about our experience in getting sober, in being alcoholic? And I'll share a little bit on that, because I've been listening to some panelists over the weekend that really inspired me, Beth H. and Maria Horn H. And, you know, I do feel that as a woman that I am a regular human being, and I have a particular experience of having come from, my world was about being validated by the outside world. I came in with really low self-esteem. I don't know why that got started. I just thought hating yourself was normal, and everybody did. I didn't realize that until I got much older. I feel comfortable in women's meetings because I feel that I can, it's an easier way to communicate my personal experience. And it feels a safer space in a way that I don't experience necessarily other meetings. So do you have anything you want to say about that? Do you go to women's meetings? What do you like them? Why do you like them? And you don't have to share if you don't want to. We'll just go to the next question.
Yeah, if no one's going to talk, I'll talk. You know, I don't have a preference. I actually do prefer women's meetings. There's things that we can talk about and share in there. And I know this because I work with a halfway house that's all women. And we have every Wednesday, it's called Your Meeting. They pick the topic and they can talk about anything they want. They have shared things in that women's meeting that they haven't even told their counselors. They have never shared that stuff before. And the three women's meetings I go to, I feel so safe. And I have bared my soul. And I've heard others do the same, crying while we do it. And, you know, I'm comfortable with that. I'm not so sure I would be able to be that honest and that thorough if it was a mixed meeting. Yeah. I mean, that's what's it for me. It doesn't matter. I mean, y'all happen to be in my time zone at the right time when I do my meetings.
Hi, I'm Jen again. I don't necessarily, I like women's meetings very much. I like them better than mixed meetings, but I don't require it. It's not a requirement. my morning meeting, my daily meeting is mixed. But there is a level of safety, I feel, in women's meetings. I mean, there's been some problems in the mixed meeting I go to. But I also had problems from a woman in the meeting as well. So it can come from anywhere, really. It wasn't a sexual in nature, but still. So as far as special meetings go, I would like a secular women or lesbian New Yorker over 50s meeting. I can really get everybody's laughing. I would love a specific meeting like that. I probably get tired of it in about a month, but I'd love to do that. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. There you go. Putting it out there.
Can I chime in, Mary?
Yes.
I want to say that, you know, I started out in mixed meetings and I still go to them. I love being in a mixed meeting. I love hearing a male point of view. However, I was suggested early on to go to women's meetings. And I remember hating the first women's meeting I went to. It was a large meeting that I ended up being the secretary of, and you had to be like nominated. It was like a big deal for 2 years. Here and there for a term, and I fell in love with them, but it took a while because I was scared of myself. I was scared of the truth that was in those meetings. I was scared of how they shared, and I had a problem with women too. I didn't realize, you know, I had a really difficult mom, and women scared me. And the better I got in AA, and the better I got with my 12 steps, and the more I got to know myself, the more I wanted those meetings. And I was attracted to them. So now I actually have a very specific meeting. I have an Asian woman's meeting, by the way. So they're out there, these little specific meetings. But I also have, women's meetings, secular meetings, and mixed meetings. I mix it up. But I'm very attracted to the women's meetings, the type of honesty that I get to hear in a way from women. I can always tell because I get a lump in my throat and they're telling the truth that I don't even have the courage to tell myself yet. And it's been a really healing experience for me to be part of them.
Thank you.
So for a long time, I only went to women's meetings. I got sober in a mixed meeting. And then my home group was a women's meeting. And then I only went to a women's meeting. And then recently, I started not that recently, several months ago, whatever, hearing about some different meetings. I have a sponsee that went to a meeting in the Midwest that she was really keen on, and I checked it out and I liked it. And I thought, you know, I really need to challenge myself to go to some more mixed meetings because I need to hear the male perspective. And at this point, I can certainly filter out BS from non-BS, I think. So I took a service position in a mixed meeting, and that really helped because, you know, I had to show up. The service thing is a big part of my recovery story because it brought accountability into my life like no other. But one thing that I do want to say is, you know, the elephant in the room, and that's about predation in mixed meetings. And that is something that a lot of women have had to endure. And for myself, I never experienced it personally. But heck, one of the women that I started the Sober She-Devils meeting with actually left AA because of sexual predation. And I hope that she is sober out there still and has found a way, but she was driven out by the unwanted attention of men in meetings. And that is a real problem. So I wanted to bring it up.
Thank you for bringing that up. I'm really glad you did. And I call that 13th stepping. Whenever I've seen it, I have called it out and I've spoken to whoever I've seen it, or if I see it, I say something. And that's another reason why that layer is not there in a women's meeting. For the most part, it's just not there. It's just not a consideration. And I think as a woman, I've also, you know, the big book is so freaking patriarchal. I mean, you know, And, you know, that the lady that wrote the book, A Woman's Way Through the 12 Steps, I mean, in the beginning, that's what all the women were grabbing and using to go through the steps with, because just reframing the language in the big book. So I, having said that, I'd like to ask, do you sponsor people? And if you do, how do you sponsor them secularly? And do you sponsor people that are in a more traditional program that might be religious? You know, there are some people I've heard in the rooms that just say, oh, I could never take anybody through the steps without God. You know, like they just can't even conceive of how to do that, what the language is of that. And thank goodness for all the authors that have written the books that now we have templates for that. And to me, it's about the principle of the steps. I still do the steps. I still have sponsees. I have a sponsor, and the steps have helped me to have a way to see a different perspective than my own circular thinking. And so do you sponsor people? If so, did you have to figure out how to do it secularly, or how did you do that?
I'm Jen. So recently I went to a meeting, an online meeting. This fellow liked what I had to say, and it was his first or second meeting. He asked me if he can call me. And then when he called me, he asked if I would sponsor him. He's 23, he's African-American, and he believes in God. And I said, what am I gonna do with this person? I had no idea. And I asked somebody about it, and they said, oh, you're lucky. And I'm like, okay, I'm lucky. And I was really not comfortable. I was trying to wrap my head around how I would sponsor him. More about the God stuff than his age or his race. I mean, it was just so different for me, is all I guess I'm saying. I imagined I'd be sitting talking to him about God, of his understanding. And it freaked me out a lot. I never actually got to do it because he stopped calling me. I asked him if, you know, I told him to get the big book, and I told him to get Living Sober. And about 2 weeks later, I said, so did you start reading? And he never called me back. So I don't know. I don't know that I could be successful, but I would give it a shot. I mean, I think it would be good for me to branch out like that. But it would be strange, odd, and probably a little uncomfortable, at least initially. So,
Angela, do you want to speak on anything about that question?
Sure. That's something I could talk a lot about, and I have. But I've sponsored a lot. So I started out sponsoring using mostly the alternative 12 steps, a secular guide, and then kind of added some things and tweaked some things a little bit from the people who sponsored me. For a long time, I was the only atheist woman sponsor in the area that was at least out about it. So I'd get a lot of people asking me, and I developed, you know, this kind of a way to do it. And in 2019, I think, John S. And I decided to put it on podcast form so that people could listen to it and help them to be able to work with each other. And it was really at that time, you know, pre-pandemic, designed for people who did not have access to a secular meeting. So it was really more for people to be able to listen and either, you know, work with their sponsor or share with their sponsor, you know, this way so that they could still be a part of the AA community wherever they were, but be more true and authentic to themselves. Because that, for me, was my biggest issue with doing the steps, was that, you know, a lot of it I didn't feel pertained to me because of the language that was used. used. And so by translating the language into something that works better for me, I was able to get the gist of what people were talking about. And I could participate at the meeting level and, you know, understand what they were saying and help them understand me. And then I found that by doing that, other people were interested in talking to me more and learning about that. And so I don't sponsor as much now. It's not for me as much about how much time somebody has or time in the program or sobriety or any of that. If I'm going to somebody to seek out, you know, their wisdom, it's because they have expertise in whatever area that is. And so if it's somebody that, you know, if it's a problem that has to do with recovery, then I might seek somebody out that has that. But for me, I feel like I'm more a peer in this journey now. In AA and all of that. And so a lot of the sponsoring that goes on in AA still has a lot of hierarchy type stuff to it. And I've just found that it doesn't work for me anymore. And it's difficult for me to do that with other people now, because I think there's so much information out there that I refer people to counseling instead. You know, if they can't afford it and need to work the steps, then, you know, I help them find somebody that can do that with them. But, you know, I it's not that I don't think it's important. It helped me. And I know that I've helped people with it. It's just not the same for me anymore. There was one more thing about sponsoring that. I think some of these groups where women are doing the steps in like a group of four, where they're working through a specific book and working with each other, I think that seems to be more beneficial. Oh, and that I have sponsored people who are religious. The person I've sponsored the longest for the longest period of time is Latter-day Saint. Yeah, that was really weird because it's been 12 years, I think. And I didn't know, you know, when she came to me, if I was going to be able to, you know, offer her anything. And I just took her through the way I take everybody else through. And she prefers the way that I was taking her through the steps, because it's, again, more practical, it's more action oriented, and it helped her to be able to listen in meetings for the actions that people did and not what they attributed to. So like if somebody said that they let go and let God and then took a walk and then called a friend, she knows that, you know, and then their whatever problem was lifted and they attribute it to God, letting go and letting God. She, you know, can hear that, oh, they, you know, thought about it, took a walk, called a friend, and then felt that it was done. And so that's the way that I've sponsored, and it seems to work for people regardless of what their faith or non-faith is.
Thank you for that. And I remember that y'all did that on the podcast, and I learned a lot from those when y'all went through the steps with that, and that really helped me re-language the way I interpreted the steps and how I explained it to other people. It helped me so much, and I really appreciate that. And I appreciate y'all getting me through the lockdown. Every Friday night, I was right there on the podcast, and it helped tremendously. Anybody else, Crystal, or anybody would like to speak on that? How do you sponsor? Do you think it's important?
Yeah, I just briefly, what I would say just from my experience is that since finding secular AA, I've actually become a kinder sponsor, you know, because I've been able to, when it gets to the part where it really says a God of your own understanding, I mean, I could really allow for that because it wasn't allowed for me. So when I would bring other people through the steps in traditional AA, you know, you teach what you're taught. And so being open to a new way of understanding things and a new way of guiding and like it's been said, more of a peer, because now it's more of what is it that you believe? And it's okay for you to believe whatever it is that you choose to or choose not to believe. It's not what I believe that's most important in this. But I remember when I was coming through the steps, what my sponsor believed was what I was going to believe. I mean, I got that message. I intended or unintended, the message was there and I got it. And I knew that that was what I was supposed to do. So I don't translate that in the same way today. So I think that allows me to be a much more loving and a much more just grounded and really, really honestly meeting people where they're at, not just saying I am. So yeah, that's what I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for that. Believe it or not, it's already been an hour. I would like to have time for all of us, you know, to just give a shout out to our meetings that we really like before we close, and then we'll stay after for, you know, chit chat after the panel. We do have a question in the panel that someone asked. They wanted to know, how do you work steps 6 and 7 before we give our shout out? And 6 in the secular version would be, we're ready to accept help and letting go of all our defects of character. I don't like the terminology defects of character. I just call it defenses. And 7 would be humbly sought to have our shortcomings removed. And in my personal opinion, shortcomings is a ridiculous word. And I think to me, it's just about committing to a new way of life, asking for help, committing to a new way of life. That's sort of how I interpret it. And I know that there are many people in these rooms that don't do the steps, that don't have a sponsor. Fellowship works for them. And that's totally fine. Totally fine. For me, it's about not taking that first drink. It's all about that. I don't think about I'm never going to drink again. I just think I'm not going to take the first drink and I stay in today. And how you do the program, it's your program. And that's how I sponsor. How do you want to do it? What angle are you looking for? And I meet people where they are. And I'm more of a friend now. I don't like that. I don't want to be in charge of anybody else's life. I can barely be in charge of my own. And I basically only sponsor people for a year. That's it. And then after that, I'm their friend. And I, so let's talk about we have questions for Angela. How do I access the podcast, Angela? And then we'll go and talk about where our favorite meetings are before we close. Go ahead.
I think the easiest way is through YouTube's Beyond Belief website. I think most people have access to that. And I believe the steps episodes, those ones started out as just podcasts, so they're not live streams. And I think it's episode 117, Taking Steps, where we just talk about what the whole idea, why people do it, and, you know, if it's helpful, if it's not, and all of that kind of stuff. And then as far as meetings, my home group is Atheist Agnostics and All Others. It's held in Boise on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Some of the other meetings that I like are, you know, the Oh My God meetings and the, I never say it right, but the Tus Nuna. Those are great. I wish I could go to those more often. Yeah, the Toronto meetings are also ones that if I really feel like I need to be in a meeting, I can hit one up there usually pretty easily and feel quite at home. So
thank you. And that I'll give another shout out to the Beyond Belief podcast, which is every Saturday at noon. It's a live stream. You can find it on Facebook or YouTube with John Sheldon and Mary C. And so who would like to talk about what their favorite meetings are?
I'll go. So my home group is the Sober She Devils Monday night, though I attend the Sunday meeting regularly. The Monday night meeting was the original Sober She Devils meeting. So I like that meeting a lot. There is a closed women's meeting out of the UK called Stonehenge Free Thinking Women. I enjoy that meeting a great deal. And lately, I've been really digging the Westside Agnostics, and they have a women's meeting on Thursday nights, and they have mixed meetings throughout the week. And I have to say that some of the men that go to that Westside Agnostics meeting are a font of wisdom, and I really enjoy going there and hearing from some of these particular guys. there's so many great meetings, man. It's just so many meetings, so little time. The Beyond Belief meetings are terrific. Some of the Tisnua meetings are terrific. And you know what? I've never made it to John's meeting, and I bet you that's terrific too. The Kansas City We Agnostic. But anyway, yeah, that's my lineup.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi. So as I mentioned earlier, a secular meditation meeting is every early part of the day, depending on where you're from, 9 a.m. Pacific. Oh my God, I go probably twice a week, and I committed to going to Sober She Devils every Monday, but I've missed a few, but I'll be back. And I really love that meeting. I do. Yeah, those are my, and I also go to Recovery Dharma women's meeting.
I'm going to plug Saturday, 10 a.m. women's meeting created in Savannah, but everybody comes from all over. That's a Zoom meeting. And if you're here live, there's beautiful mixed meeting underneath the oak trees in the center of Savannah that I love as well. Bring your own chair. That's Sunday at 11.
Thanks.
I would just like to plug in that I also go to the Savannah meeting, and right after that, I go to the Stonehenge Women's Freethinkers. That is also an amazing meeting on Saturdays at noon. So I'm kind of busy on Saturdays. And Sober She Devils, obviously, I go there.
Crystal?
You're muted, Crystal.
I thought we were going to get through the whole thing without somebody having to say that. So my favorite is Saturday morning. And I visited at the She Devils a couple of times, and I need to come back more regularly. So I'd like to do that. So yeah, that's me.
So I'll plug the A New Freedom Women's Meeting. We also have a Facebook page. You can contact me after the meeting if you want more info. We're online. We're on all the meeting forums. And it's called A New Freedom, and it's online from 10 a.m. Eastern. And we have people from Germany and all over that are there. I also, I've been trying to get this Sober She Devils for some reason. Have been there. I went to your anniversary, which was awesome. I love the Toronto meetings. I feel very much at home there. And I go to Without a Prayer, the mixed meeting, the Ireland one. I've been to Hong Kong and Paris. I usually just, my schedule is a bit erratic. So in the evenings, I just get online and see at 7:30, whatever time it is, what's open. And that's how I pick. But my definite home group, I have two in person here. The secular Sunday in Savannah, and then the online. So I wanted to thank all of y'all for being here today. And I really appreciate your voices and your loving shares. I very much appreciate that for coming to create this Women in Recovery panel. And I thank all the participants for being here today. And we're going to open now. We can close the panel discussion. And we're in a breakout room, so we do have some time if anybody would like to ask questions or have a comment. Feel free.
I would like to bring up a topic. Spreading the word. This came up in another meeting, at another panel I went to earlier. And I had brought up going to in person or even online traditional meetings to spread the word. And someone responded by saying that she brought the God Word pamphlet to a meeting and they threw them away. So that didn't work out very well for her. But I think it's up to the secular community to spread it and force somehow AA to be more inclusive. I had purported that I had been to the AA website and typed in the search bar secular or secular meetings, and there were 633 top-ups, and none of them were what I was looking for. They have no, you know, recognition. They do include us on the online meeting list, but that's it. And of course, the pamphlet. But if you can't bring the pamphlet to the meetings and not get them thrown away, what the hell good are they? But there's so many ways. And I think a letter writing can, I want to ask this group, you know, what you think you as an individual, or maybe creating a outreach group to those that don't know in secular, in traditional AA, who still don't know we exist, how we can become more visible. I mean, I have some ideas, but I wanted to hear other people if they have any ideas.
Well, I think we're talking about having a presence at the global AA conference in 2025 in Vancouver, having a big presence there. And like you said, just have a panel at any AA roundup conference, regional. I think the regional is a great way to go because more people can, it's hard to travel to the every 2 year conferences or start a meeting for secular atheist New York lesbians in recovery. That's your challenge, Jen.
And over 50.
I'm going to throw Jewish in there too, just
okay. Jewish, there you go. Gotcha. Okay, Rady, you have your hand up.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I'm going to change how I introduce myself after this weekend. Rady, recovering alcoholic. Anyway, wonderful comments. Thank all of you panelists. And yeah, I think that's very important about outreach. And we started an online meeting about 6 months ago for Beggars, Tramps, and Queers is the name of our group. It's an LGBTQIA plus kind of meeting. And we're having growing pains, but it's because we have a lot of popularity because of the name, I guess. But that has been fantastic. And it has introduced many of them to the concept of secular AA. And one of the old timers who just celebrated 30 years a couple days ago actually went to an in-person secular meeting in our hometown because of us starting it on Friday. So, and what's really cool too, though, is we do have Christians and Hindus and atheists. We have a broad mix. I think we have one atheist. I would love more, but I know it gets irritating to them to listen to our wacky spirituality when we talk about it. But it's a wonderful meeting, and it's mostly young people. So if they decide to follow a path of theology, that's fine. I think it's a wonderful experience. And thank you again for a great conference. And thank you again. I'm also a brand new board member.
There you go.
All right.
Congratulations.
All right.
Good job volunteering for that. Service is the key. Thank you. And I encourage everybody to start a secular meeting wherever you are. Just start one.
Sorry. Yeah, the meeting that we started on Wednesday before the pandemic, and then we restarted again, a live women's meeting, is full of all kinds of people. Wednesday at noon in Savannah Live. There are people who are secular completely, people who are religious, such an intense, wonderful group of women, a variety. But it is a secular meeting, and that's its thing. And it was started, and I wasn't sure there was going to be a need, and there is a need. So there, you will see if there's the need, man. And it's just such a wonderful meeting.
Hey, everybody. Doug, recovering alcoholic connect. This is just such a great panel. Thank you so much. I want to give another shout out to the Friday Beggars meeting, the Tramps and Thieves. I discovered that a couple of weeks ago. It is fucking amazing. I love it. It is a queer meeting, kind of queerish, I guess. So, something you said, Mary, should not be something so radical to meet people where they are in terms of sponsorship. I really appreciated all the thoughts about sponsorship because I am coming out of the closet as a secular person in all of my DC meetings. And I want to sponsor people. But as someone noted, I'm like, what can I give a person who's like, you know, overly religious or whatever, but just, it shouldn't be that radical to meet people where they are, but in some traditional parts of AA, that is just such a radical thing. And I will tell you, I went without a sponsor for 10 years because I just, it was, as someone said, it was like, I'm doing this the way I was taught how to do it, which just, you know, meant you're going to have to do it the way I got sober. And yeah, it didn't work for me. Now I have a secular sponsor, a Buddhist guy, and he's just amazing. So again, I just want to thank you for the panel. It was really, really great.
Great. Thank you. Want to thank you for being here and thank you for staying sober. And thank you for participating with your face in the square and your butt in the seat. That's a form of service right there. That is a form of service.
Mary?
Yes?
There's a question.
Okay,
well, go ahead. I just really want to say thank you. Thank you so much for this conference. And especially this panel. I was at an Al-Anon meeting and then I jumped on this panel. These are the only two meetings I've been to. And, you know, I've been sober 35 years and I've left AA and come back to AA, left AA, come back to not drinking, but just so frustrated with the way it is. And it's just so refreshing to hear you all. And I've written down all the names of the meetings you suggested. And I was texting other members while this is going on, asking them to jump on because it's just so refreshing. I'm so grateful. So thank you for putting on this conference and for having this panel. It was phenomenal, just phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Donnie. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I also want to give out a shout out to secularrecoveryonline.com, which my friend Chris runs. You can find all kinds of meetings that are secular there if you're looking for a meeting. Most of the meetings that we talked about today are listed there. Thank y'all for being here very, very much. It's been a fabulous conference. I've learned a lot, and I appreciate y'all for participating, and thank you.
Janie has her hand up.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I can't see everybody in.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Thank you.
Oh, hey, Janie. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Janie. I'm an alcoholic, and I've really enjoyed your panels and the whole conference, Joe. Everything was just really amazing. I got onto a meeting this morning, and I got so buzzed, I couldn't believe it. And my husband and I started. My husband's an atheist, and we both got sober in traditional AA, and we went to my husband. His first meeting was in 2014. It was the Oceanside Freethinkers, and I now host that meeting. And but we started our own meeting, and it's called Ramona Freethinkers, and it's Saturday night, 5 o'clock Pacific time. And so that kind of, and then when the pandemic came in, and we, you know, we had the live meeting, pandemic started, and then we went, and somebody asked me to go to a 10 o'clock Saturday morning Zoom meeting, and I had not been to any yet. And it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. And I went to that. And that same day, I think I switched my meeting over. I knew nothing about Zoom or nothing about, but I started our Ramona Freethinkers on a Zoom meeting. And it's still going, a Zoom meeting. And I don't know if we're ever going to go back live or not. And also I switched our Backcountry Big Book meeting into Backcountry Freethinkers meeting, and the Big Book meeting is going on live. But my Big Book Freethinkers meetings is Tuesday night, 6 o'clock Pacific time. And then I had just by circumstances took over the Sunday, 10 o'clock in the morning. So I host four different Zoom meetings. Three of them are Freethinkers, and I stay really busy. I went to the members, meeting today about the general membership meeting, and I really wanted to volunteer to be on the board, but I really have too much else to do, and maybe there's some other people that need some service commitments. But I related to all of your sharing and the panel topics and questions, and kind of wished I was a part of it, so need to get more involved in different things. I have my own meetings and I feel really busy, and being able to do service, I'm really grateful for that. So thank you so much, Mary, and all you other women that are here and on the panel. and that stay into recovery. And I'm Janie. I'm an alcoholic and probably always will be. And I've never thought about identifying myself any other way. It's always been kind of a surrender to me. You know, it's that's what I am. And, you know, it took me a long time to admit that. And once I did, I think I was free. So that's how it is. Thanks.
Thanks, Janie. And thank you. Thank you, Cindy, for being our tech host today and all that service. And thank Maria you. And Crystal and Jennifer and Angela and Kimiko. Thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, really absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll see y'all. We'll see y'all online. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye, Cynthia. See you later.